Do you ever do this? You say something awkward at a party and your brain says, cool, I am socially hopeless. Or you have a rough day at work and your brain goes, yep, I cannot handle anything. Or maybe it's one argument with someone you love and suddenly it's like, I will never succeed at relationships. Your brain takes an event and it turns it into, this is how everything is. Guess what? This thinking pattern has a name. It's called overgeneralization. And it's one of the fastest ways to turn normal emotions into a full-body, all-day spiral. In this video, you'll learn how to notice overgeneralization, understand why it makes everything feel worse, and learn a few practical ways to interrupt it. But first, let me tell you about rattlesnakes. I promise it's relevant. I worked for years in wilderness therapy programs, and just so you know, we treated these kids with respect, and we had these amazing life-changing experiences in the outdoors. One year, I was working down in the Grand Staircase Escalante area, and the previous winter, we'd had a lot of rain, which meant more grass, which meant more grass seeds, which meant more mice, which meant more snakes, like so many rattlesnakes. Sometimes they'd come into camp, and we would gently remove them with a stick. But they'd come back, so we'd have to move camp. One time when we were driving, we saw one that was over 5 feet long. Now, I grew up in the Rocky Mountains, and I spent a lot of time outdoors, so I was really aware of rattlesnakes. I'd seen them occasionally on hikes and climbs, and my dad accidentally once ran one over on his bike. Like, womp womp. another time, he was trail running, and he stepped down off of this step, and he felt something poke him in the leg. And he thought he just got like poked by a stick, but later that night he looked and he had these two perfect puncture marks like right through his pants. So he was pretty sure he got bit by a rattlesnake, but the snake did not release its venom. Another time, my father-in-law was hiking ahead of me and my family up this slot canyon, and he climbed out this ledge to get out of the canyon. And when I got there with my three-year-old and my one-year-old, I asked him, like, how did you get up over this ledge without going near the snake? And he was like, what snake? And there was this like fat rattlesnake just sitting on the exact step he'd put his hands and his feet earlier. Okay, I promise this has a point, okay? There have been some cool studies showing that rattlesnakes are actually very reluctant to bite people. They'll only do it as a last resort. This cool researcher stepped on 165 rattlesnakes with a fake leg, and the snakes only struck at this leg 6 times. So it's very rare for someone to get bitten. But it does happen. So I had this neighbor who got bit, and he was badly injured, and the anti-venom cost over $100,000, and he spent more than a week in the ICU. Another time, when we were hiking, I stepped over a crack in the rocks, and I heard this sharp rattle right between my feet. And my body just jumped out of the way before I'd even registered what I'd heard. So what's happened is all this time interacting with snakes made me very highly attuned to snakes. So going back to wilderness therapy, that year on the Escalante, we were all on high alert. Snakes everywhere. Now, long story short, I knew that rattlesnakes weren't out to get me. But try telling that to my nervous system after a dozen run-ins with these rattlers. So after all of these close calls, I was a little jumpy. I'd be walking through camp and I'd see something long and snaky out of the corner of my eye, and I would jump back and my heart would be pounding. And then when I'd take a closer look, I'd realize it was just a stick. Another time we were hiking across this stream and I heard again a sharp rattle. And I jumped. I was like, snake! Because there were kids right behind me. And then I realized it was just a plant with these like rattly seed pods. It was not a snake. It was just a plant. But my nervous system had this strategy, which was jump first, evaluate later, right? This was not very accurate. So I kept thinking sticks and plants were snakes. But honestly, I'm okay with the fact that my nervous system was not very accurate because those fast reflexes were keeping me safe from a potentially dangerous situation. So my nervous system made the decision, we're gonna lump everything that's a little bit snaky into the snake category just to be safe. And guess what? With dozens of kids and dozens of staff on high alert, as we hung out with probably like thousands of snakes on the Escalante that summer, no one got bit. Why? Because we were overgeneralizing. So, what is overgeneralization? Overgeneralization is a really cool survival strategy that our brain uses. It makes these fast, broad, sweeping categories that can keep you safe from things that might be dangerous. So, like, thank you. Thank you, nervous system, for trying to keep me safe. It's when your brain then takes one experience and turns it into this global conclusion, even when no danger is present. The fact is, there was a snake on the trail, so now everything snake-like is a snake. That's an overgeneralization. But we do this with other things that are perceived threats, like, oh, I messed up, becomes, I'm a complete failure. Or, they didn't text me back, becomes, no one cares about me. Or, my car broke down, becomes, why does this always happen to me? Or, he was so rude, becomes, men are all so obnoxious. Now, overgeneralization isn't always negative. It can also be excessively positive. So, for example, like, oh, I met a super nice investment broker. That means I can trust him with all of my savings. Or, my horse just won that race. I'm on a winning streak. You can usually catch yourself overgeneralizing when you hear words like always, never, everyone, no one, everything, nothing. These are the brain's all or nothing shortcuts. But thinking this way distorts reality. And this overgeneralization, when we do it too much, it fuels intense emotions. Research has found that you can predict who will develop depression by watching and observing who overgeneralizes. Overgeneralization is also linked to anxiety, anger, bipolar, borderline personality disorder, chronic pain, eating disorders, low self-esteem, and prejudice. If overgeneralization has so many negative outcomes, like why would our brain do this to us? I would say there are two pretty good reasons. So first, unfortunately, our brains aren't designed to make us happy. They're designed to keep us safe. So overgeneralization is often your brain trying to protect you. So, for example, if a guy from the green tribe attacks you, then it makes sense that your nervous system is going to assume that everyone from the green tribe is dangerous. If you really let yourself down one time, your nervous system might try to protect you from disappointment by saying, I always fail. And then that mistake becomes an identity. So if your brain can turn one bad experience into a rule, then it thinks it can keep you safe by kind of saying like, oh, don't get hurt like that again. All green people are dangerous. Everything that rattles is a snake. Don't try new things where you might fail. So your nervous system, this is the first reason why our brains do this a lot. Your nervous system is trying to keep you safe, but the cost is that you start living inside of a story that's like bigger and darker and more helpless than reality. It's also more likely that you'll do this if you grew up with a lot of criticism, unpredictability, bullying, trauma, chronic stress, or if you're just like generally more emotionally sensitive. Your brain is gonna generalize faster. So trauma is simply the nervous system learning like, oh, everything's unsafe. Right? It's not a character flaw. It's just a nervous system that learned to scan for patterns really quickly. And the more scared your nervous system is, the more it overgeneralizes. And the more it overgeneralizes, the more you perceive a threat. And I know it's hard to problem solve when your brain is screaming like, this is forever. Why does everything feel this way? Because if you truly believe that everything will always be this way forever, and there are no exceptions, like, why bother problem solving? So your emotions get louder, your body gets more activated, and your mind becomes more rigid and more hopeless, and you feel more powerless. But what happens here is that your brain is building these stories on top of an inaccurate nervous system response. One person commented on one of my videos, it's subtle how the story feels like truth because the nervous system already reacted and the thought just arrives afterward to justify it. Having these random inaccurate thoughts once in a while is normal, but why would we keep doing it, right? If it makes us so depressed and if it makes us like anxious and all these problems, why would we keep overgeneralizing? I think there's one other really important reason why you overgeneralize. We only repeat things that are rewarding in some way. Our brain repeats things that give it some kind of payout. So what's the payout from overgeneralizing? Like, how could it be rewarding if it makes everything feel so awful? Let's explore this with some examples. Okay, if something bad happens and you say, like, why does this always happen to me? Or if your kid melts down in public, do you think, I'm a bad parent? Or if you miss a deadline at work, instead of thinking like, oh, I need a better plan, your brain goes, I can't handle anything. Notice how this extreme thinking makes you feel like shutting down instead of trying harder. So this is the second big reason why we often get stuck in a pattern of overgeneralizing. If I'm sure that the world is hopeless, then I'm excused from helping. If I'm sure that I'll always fail, then I'm justified in not trying. Overgeneralizing is rewarding. It feels good. It's like secretly comforting because it seems to excuse you from vulnerability, from effort, from trying. But when you do this habitually, it changes your worldview and your sense of identity. And it's easy to get stuck in a rut of constantly feeling like helpless and hopeless and powerless and emotionally reactive. So thank you, nervous system, for this, but we can do better. And I would say the way out of overgeneralization, the way out of this rut is not positive thinking. The way out is more specific thinking. Okay, now real quick, before I give you a bunch of practical tools that you can actually use, if you want to take a deeper dive and address your anxiety and trauma, depression, or just emotional reactivity, I hope you'll check out my membership. I walk you through practical exercises that can help you process and regulate your emotions. Okay, overgeneralization, it happens spontaneously. It's your nervous system reacting and then your brain making a story about it. It's not your fault that you have these thoughts. But they also aren't true, right? That stick is not a snake. That rattly seed pod is not a snake, right? These thoughts aren't your fault, but they're also not true, and there is something you can do about it. So I have four strategies that are going to help you learn to notice this type of thinking, catch the lie, and replace it with something more specific and helpful, okay? Okay, so here's the first skill. Catch yourself when you say never. Everyone, no one, everything, nothing. Okay. If you catch yourself using one of these terms, that's your cue to pause. Then you're going to replace it with, I'm having the thought that, dot, dot, dot. So instead of saying like, I'm a complete failure, you say, I'm having the thought that I'm a complete failure. Or you can label it, like say, oh, I'm overgeneralizing again. And what this does is it builds in a tiny bit of distance. And it helps your brain switch from being inside the thought to observing the thought. Okay, number two, shrink it back down to size. This means be really specific and in the present moment. You gotta ask, like, what are the facts? What is the specific problem? Where does this start and where does it end? And then use like a reset phrase, like, okay, this is a specific problem. This is temporary. This is fixable. Okay, so instead of saying something like, I always fail, there's that always word, we're gonna catch that word, we're gonna replace it with something more specific. I failed this time. If you say, everyone is so self-centered, make it more specific. Some people are self-centered. Even if you don't know how to fix the problem yet, what you're doing is you're creating space to choose, to decide if this story is really as helpful as it seems. And when you have space, you have freedom. Okay, overgeneralization also loves identity labels. So something like, I'm a terrible parent is overgeneralization. I'm always terrible. You've got to switch from identity, like this is who I am, to behavior. Switch from identity to behavior. Say, I didn't handle that situation well, right? Identity statements create hopelessness. Behavior statements create options. Okay, strategy number three. Add in counterexamples. So overgeneralization is basically bad science. It takes one piece of evidence and it calls it like the law of nature. So we fix it with better data. You can ask like, huh, when is this not true? What are two times where I handled something similar and I handled it well? Who is one person who has shown me care? Or are there any exceptions to the story? Any times where your experience doesn't agree with this story you're telling? And then another way to think about this is like saying, well, is there anyone else who might see this differently? Like, is there someone out there who would look at this situation and have a different takeaway from it? Okay, here's another really cool way to challenge overgeneralization. You could check to see if the opposite is true. So for example, if you believe forgetting my child's lunch makes me an awful parent, you can ask yourself, if remembering their lunch would make you a perfect parent. If you say like, oh, I always let people down, then say like, no, that's untrue. I've helped and supported people in the past. Okay. You could think, oh, everyone's out to get me. All right, let's be a little bit more nuanced. Some people are out to get me, and there's a lot of people who've helped me. You're not trying to prove that you're perfect. Healthy people replace all or nothing thinking with allowing two things to be true at the same time. I messed up, and I can keep learning. That person betrayed me, but I bet there's a better partner out there for my future. All right, here's the last thing. Number four is look for helpful action. If overgeneralization helps excuse us from taking responsibility for our lives, but that leaves us feeling helpless. So we can counteract that by looking for more helpful beliefs. You can ask like, what do I really value? What kind of person do I want to be? And if the answer is like, I want to be courageous. I want to be trustworthy. I want to be resilient. Like, don't make yourself helpless. That's really what overgeneralization does, is it makes you feel helpless. So then instead you ask like, what's in my locus of control? What can I act upon? What's one small action that lines up with the kind of person I want to be? Is this action to learn a new skill, to try again differently, to apologize? Taking action requires a lot of courage, but in the long run, it can help you be more flexible, more resilient, more hopeful, more empowered in your life. Okay, so to summarize, if you overgeneralize a lot, this is a great opportunity to learn how to be more emotionally stable. You're not broken. There's a skill you can learn. So start by catching the words like always or never. Shrink the story back to a specific moment. Look for exceptions and look for helpful actions. And then just take the next right step. Because one hard moment is allowed to be one hard moment. It doesn't get to become your whole life. Okay. You really can improve your mental health and feel more empowered in your own life if you can learn how to catch yourself overgeneralizing and replace it with more helpful thinking. Okay. Thank you so much for being here. Really appreciate it. Please take care.